Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Lionel Messi, World Cup winner, Argentina legend, the greatest player of all time, many would argue. He will not be returning to Barcelona. He will not be signing with the Saudi Arabian League either, because he announced yesterday he'll be joining Inter Miami, the major league soccer club, which is co-owned by David Beckham. Well, football journalist Guillaume Balague has the inside story on what led to this move, and he's back with us now. Good morning, Guillaume.
Good morning, Claire.
So tell us, was this a straight choice between Saudi and Miami for Messi, and how did it all come about?
You have to add Barcelona, because he did want to go back to Barcelona. It was just an impossible situation for financial reasons, and Barcelona made it look like it was possible. So many people believe it could have been, but I think Leo at the end, he thought, I need to take a decision here. And then, yes, it became money, cash, without complications, without having to do extra work, say, in Saudi Arabia, a huge amount of money, over 400 million euros, or a lifestyle choice that also had to do with it's got a commercial side to it, because obviously Inter Miami cannot pay the kind of wages that he would have got with another European side, or definitely from Saudi Arabia. What very cleverly Inter Miami has done is mix the brand, the Messi brand, with Apple, with Adidas and other big brands to help each other, not only to bring money for Messi, but also, you know, when you put brands together, things happen, big things happen. And that's what we're going to see in the few years that he will be there. He'll be involved in all of that. And finally, and this is the most important thing, he explained it last night, it was a family decision. He felt that in Paris he wasn't happy, didn't have enough time for his kids. He wants that time, he wants to live in a place that he would enjoy, and he's going to get all that in Miami.
So for 35-year-old Messi, has he opted for an easier sunshine life in Miami?
It's a competition that he has improved. Is it like the Premier League? No, it's definitely not. The MLS is a different thing. But 35, and he will be 36 this summer, Messi certainly has felt that there are other priorities now. That was the car that Inter Miami played. I remember talking to them about 6 months ago, and they said, he's won everything. What is he doing? What is he doing going and competing for the Champions League again? He's won everything. And I think Leo has realized that, yeah, perhaps there are bigger things in life than winning the next trophy. But he wants to be fit, because he wants to play the Copa America in the summer. And I've got this little dream in my head that once that happens, the World Cup will just be a couple of years in front of him. And maybe he'll think of playing it.
Really?
Well, imagine the deal with Inter Miami, because we don't know yet if it's 2 or 4 year deal, and both have been reported. I haven't got confirmation of either. But if it was a 4 year deal, that means there's a World Cup in his last season. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like we all like The Last Dance, Michael Jordan, what he did. We'll allow him to go back to another World Cup like nobody ever in the history of the game has done, because that would be, his seventh? So You'll be okay with that, no?
Yeah, but you risk a sad end when you push it. You know, and he's at risk now, looking down at 36, you know, and you say pitching forward towards a World Cup. It just all could come to an end that you wouldn't want to see for him?
Well, first of all, I'm pitching it. I don't know what he's thinking, because he's going year by year, to be honest. But did you see him run a lot in the World Cup? He just doesn't run.
I know. And they designed
the
team is put in place around him so that Messi can be Messi. But will that work in 4 years' time?
Well, I don't know. It's not 4 years' time, though. It's 3 years. Anyway, yeah, I know what you're saying, but that's my dream and I'm sticking with it.
But look, let's just talk a little bit more about Barcelona, because that would have been a completely different ball game, to use a terrible pun, and he would have been under ferocious pressure there, as you have mentioned. But he had the stomach for that. He wanted that, didn't he?
Yes, he wanted to go back home, and he feels that it was a hard goodbye. You see now the homages that Jordi Alba and Busquets, fairly so as well, they deserve it. But they're getting now, you know, the interview with all the cops and the fans saying goodbye to them and homages with videos, etc. He never got any of that. Leo Messi leaves Barcelona and got nothing of it. Mm-hmm. Instead, he had to do a press conference on his own. And then I remember there was a friendly that same day, and in the minute 10, for about 30 seconds, the fans chanted Messi, Messi, Messi. But never again until the last 3 months, when it became clear that he wanted to come, that Barcelona were looking like they wanted him, even though I think they always knew it was impossible. And then the fans started chanting every minute 10, Messi, Messi, Messi. So he hasn't really said goodbye. Well, that will happen at some point. I'm sure he will. But it won't be by him wearing the shirt for a whole season.
And did you detect a bit of an edge in what the Barcelona president said? I respect Messi's decision. But then he goes on to want to compete in a league with fewer demands, further away from the spotlight and the pressure he has been subject to in recent years. I mean, do you think there's an accusation in there that Messi wanted an easier life, and that's what Barcelona are saying?
Claire, you need to let me explain the context of all of that. Basically, there is a chairman that came to Barcelona with the idea and the promise that he was going to get Messi, and then Messi was sent away. Also, with the promise that financially he was going to sort everything out. Messi cannot come back because the finances of Barcelona have gone worse, not better. They're not improving. So there's also the accusation and the evidence that Barcelona paid one of the directors of the referee committee. We don't know what for. It's been investigated, but it puts a very dark sign on Barcelona, dark mark. And even UEFA thinking of pushing Barcelona away from the Champions League next season. In the context of all that, Laporta and Barcelona have used the idea of Messi coming back with the intention of hiding all of it. So now they need an explanation. They need to continue with the narrative. We tried. And, you know, if you tried, there is nothing else we can do. But they knew from the beginning it was not possible. And Leo knew that he was being used. So it got to a point when Messi said, you know what, I better take all this away from his shoulders. Because one of the things that Barcelona wanted to do is to reduce the wages of the players there and sell players that don't want to go. And Messi said, you know what, I don't want that on my shoulders either. Mm-hmm. So it was so much against this move. But a lot of it has to do with, as I say, Barcelona trying to hide many of the problems.
And then for the Saudi bid, and we see the tentacles of Saudi Arabia and the Middle East reaching far into football and this week golf with that merger between LIV and the PGA. Does this decision by Messi push them back into their box a little?
Well, they got Benzema, recent Ballon d'Or, so they certainly want to make a league that's very strong. These clever people behind it, Gary Cook, for instance, who is one of the leaders of the league and president of the league, and also he was at Manchester City at the beginning of the new Manchester City era. So they're very ambitious, and certainly they attracted a lot of attention. It's just that it didn't feel right for Leo for family reasons. But he's been in Saudi Arabia and Riyadh. He's the ambassador of the tourist office, and we'll continue working with them. Obviously, this is all part, in a way, of Saudi Arabia trying to host the World Cup in the near future.
Yes.
But they won't get Messi.
Now, more big transfer news yesterday. 19-year-old England international Jude Bellingham gone from Borussia Dortmund to Real Madrid, and we know Man City really wanted him, Guillaume, didn't they?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Manchester City found out about a week ago, if not longer, that the thinking of Jude Bellingham went like this. I can always have England. I can always go back to England. And I will get a big team. And Pep Guardiola, even though he's only going to stay in Manchester City for two more years, he may not be the manager that gets into City, but City will be after him at some point. But the train of Real Madrid can pass by if you don't get it. It may not happen again. So he thought, I have to go to Real Madrid. A Real Madrid that's renewing the energies and the squad, and he will be one of the leaders. He's seen as a strategical signing. They think he can win the Ballon d'Or. He's, of course, one of the Adidas faces, like the kit manufacturer for Real Madrid is also Adidas. A lot of things that go in his favour. And they know that even though he will cost 103 million plus bonuses, they can get that money from the Premier League at some point in 2, 3, 4 years' time. So he signed until 2029, and I'm happy that he's going there because I can see him succeeding in the European stage in a way that I don't think any English player has done before. David Beckham, yes, did very, very well, but that is another level when he when a player helps a team like Real Madrid win titles. I think Jude can help with that.
And do you think that Harry Kane will want to jump on the Real Madrid train too?
I'm convinced that he would like to, yes. The problem will be negotiating with Daniel Levy, as everybody knows. But by losing Benzema and Hazard's wages and Mariano and Marco Asensio, some players of Real Madrid with big wages, they have the ability, the financial ability, to negotiate something that's beyond 100 million euros. The problem is Real Madrid at the moment, maybe just negotiations, but they think, phew, Harry Kane is 29, we pay that much money, we cannot get it back. We don't know. But he guarantees goals straight away in a way that Ancelotti likes, because he's not just a number nine. He moves around, comes out of the box, a little bit like Benzema in a different way. So he is the top of the list if the financial agreement with Spurs can be reached.
Now, finally, I want to just mention with you the West Ham win last night, their first European trophy since 1965 at the Europa Conference League. But Declan Rice, that's where the big question mark lies now, Guillaume. Will he be on the way out of West Ham after this?
If you win a cup with West Ham, and you know you've covered it by some of the biggest clubs in the world, isn't it the better time, the best time to leave? And I feel that big offers are arriving to West Ham. I think West Ham have to let him go now. He's ready for the next level. He certainly has got the ability to succeed at an Arsenal, say, for instance, and lead Arsenal. He won't be the only club that want him, but I think that's the one that suits him the best. Mm-hmm. He celebrated very emotionally, obviously, the win, because he's such a big West Ham fan. But perhaps because in the back of his mind, he thought that was his last game.
Yeah, why do you say Arsenal is the most likely place for him to go?
I know Arsenal want him. I'm pretty sure Newcastle will want him as well, and Manchester United too, if he becomes available for a price they can all afford. But I just feel that at Arsenal, he can become even better. He's with Xhaka going. They will need players in that position. Thomas Partey has been in and out of the team because of injury. A dominating force with personality. That's what Arsenal are after.
I know a lot of people will have been shocked to see some of the scenes from that game last night, the West Ham-Fiorentina game. Cristiano Baraghi left bleeding at one point on the pitch. He seemed to have been hit by a missile thrown from the stands. We saw beer cups being fired at the Fiorentina players as well. We've seen a lot of trouble, haven't we, Guillaume, recently? Pitch invasions, fights in stadiums. Does European football need to look at this now and take some sort of action?
Absolutely. But football is a mirror of society. And the polarization and extreme thinking that we see in the streets at some point was going to go into football. And right now, yes, hooligan bands all over Europe are growing. Young people get fascinated by the potential of violence and affecting things like this. It was disgusting. But please, let's not make it a country thing. It's not an English problem. It's a society problem, and it goes beyond England. But yeah, you have to be strong, and measures have to be taken. It's not easy, because ideally you get the people who do it, and then you arrest them, and then you do whatever you need to do with them. But maybe it should be the role of UEFA and the Federation should be a little bit bigger than that, and start to not just educate, but yeah, affect clubs and somehow trying to change the dynamic.
Yeah, unless anyone thinks that we're trying to put the blame squarely at England's door. I know some of the West Ham fans were attacked outside the stadium as well by Fiorentina fans. So as you say, it's a widespread issue. Guillaume, it's really good to talk to you. Thank you very much for speaking to us this morning.
Same with you. Goodbye.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.